In our New Testament reading this morning, we heard familiar words. Paul's retelling of the story of the Last Supper. Words we remember each time we celebrate communion together. Now, why does Paul include in his letter to believers in Corinth words that would also have been familiar to them? Paul is, in a way, taking the temperature at Corinth. Do the community's actions reflect Christ's call? Have their memories grown cold over time, leading to cold hearts or actions? Has forgetfulness led to faithlessness? It seems they had become stuck in their story. There are many accounts of people being stuck in their story in the Bible, as on the road to Emmaus, when the disciples were so caught up in their account of the death of Jesus, they were totally unaware that the story had moved on, and there he was, walking beside them. From Paul's words a few verses before the words we heard, it is clear that he feels the folk in Corinth need some course correction. When it came to being a community at meal times, apparently their spiritual table manners were appalling. They were about looking after number one. They'd forgotten how to share, how to be deeply hospitable. They had forgotten that the purpose of communion is building community, building up the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, no one is ever left on the margins. So here, Paul is not so much informing them of anything. He is reminding them. He's calling to mind their roots, their past, for the purpose of changing the future of the community. This goes way beyond retelling the story of that Last Supper to reliving the story. And Paul contends that it is in the act of remembering the body of Christ that was broken that the body of Christ is remembered. That is, put back together. The gospel narratives were never composed simply for the sole purpose of recollection. They're not about nostalgia or remembering for remembering's sake. Believers were to envisage how they would remember the body of Christ going forward. Remembering their past was for the purpose of shaping their future. I recently came across a copy of the magazine New Scientist with the headline Memories of the Future. Now, to be honest, I do not so much usually glance at a magazine with the word science in the title, but I was intrigued and I opened it up and I discovered that scientists are becoming convinced that the same thing we call memory works both ways, helping us both recall the past and imagine the future. Neuroscientists have discovered that people who have lost their memories also lose their ability to imagine their future. As one scientist said, it's almost as if you're doing the same thing when you remember and when you imagine. Memory and imagination, two sides of the very same coin. And either one without the other is a problem, leading either to stagnation on the one hand or capriciousness on the other. Now, I don't believe Paul had access to a first century version of the New Scientist magazine. But he was putting this theory into practice when he wrote his letter. He was using collective memory to transform a current situation and furnish the future. Reverence for the past is merged with relevance in the present and hope for the future. I feel blessed to be a part of this community for this year. I know I'm a blow-in, yet I have been so welcomed. I am excited and privileged to get literally a front row seat as we celebrate milestones and foundation stones. Last night I got to experience the wonderful production of Bones, Bogles and Coronets, where we were transported back in time to the discovery of Bruce's bones and then the laying of the foundation stone for this church 200 years ago to the day. I get to engage with this congregation at a time such as this. And just as exciting is to see what this will mean for the shape that living the gospel will take in this place going forward, to hear dreams and visions and to feel the passion that God has placed on people's heart for ministry and mission here in the 21st century. A time capsule. What a wonderful means of communicating with people of the future about their past. Equally wonderful to think that the visions and dreams birthed here in the days and years ahead will enable those same people of the future to contemplate their future. It's enough to make your head spin like mental time travel. Gratitude and appreciation for the struggle and perseverance and sacrifice that enables us to gather here today as a worship community is fuel for the way forward. It is not nostalgia or remembering for remembering's sake. It is fuel for the future. As George Bernard Shaw said, we are made wise not by the recollection of our past, but by the responsibility for our future. And never mind the Bogles, there is a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews portrays the life of faith in every generation as a part of that great chain of witnesses, following the example of those who have gone before to run the race of faith that is laid out for us in this time, in this place. We are passing on the baton, and we each decide what part we will play and what form our encouragement will take. We keep going because we believe what their lives were about are important enough for us to ensure it will carry on. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you." Those who laid that foundation stone 200 years ago did so on the basis of what they had received from the Lord, their foundation stone and ours. What will we hand forward, pray forward? How will the future be remembered in this place of sanctuary? We journey into the answers together, trusting that everything we do is just like this building, to the glory of God. Amen.